to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is Michael Rowan. He is a columnist for El Universal and Veneconomia. And these are two important publications that, among other things, cover intensively developments in Venezuela. And it is an area of the world that Michael has specialized in for many years. He is the author of The Threat Closer to Home, Hugo Chavez and the War Against America. He is one of our go-to experts on what is happening in that very important country and what it might mean for us. Michael Rowan, welcome back. It's always good to have you.
Very good to be there, Frank. Thanks a lot for calling.
Well, we have, needless to say, a lot of high drama in Venezuela, and I can't, frankly, keep track of what is happening, who's in charge, where things are headed. Give us the latest as you understand them, Michael.
Well, basically, the country has been impoverished. It's been turned from the richest country in Latin America into the poorest in only 10 or 15 years. The state has been cannibalized. $300 billion has been stolen from the treasury by their own numbers. The Supreme Court was packed. The legislature, the Congress, has now been disbanded because two-thirds of the elected deputies are in the opposition. So they just get rid of it. They're allied with Iran, with Hezbollah, with the FARC. They're running a drug cartel, essentially. They're doing money laundering. They're selling passports to terrorists. They're murdering people and kidnapping. They have the highest murder rate in the world. It's falling apart. And the problem here for us, Frank, is that the U.S. is essentially supplying them with 90% of the money they have to do this.
And that is through oil sales and refined products going back to them, propping these guys up. Let me just ask you a question about one piece of what you just said, Michael. I understood that the Supreme Court of Venezuela effectively disbanded, I mean, essentially took over all of the powers of the legislative branch, but that they then undid that, that Maduro yielded to international pressure. Is that correct, or is it essentially a change without a difference?
It's a change without a difference, because essentially, you know, what happened here, the real story is, two-thirds of the people elected in the assembly, in the National Assembly, are in the opposition. And four of them were declared ineligible by the Supreme Court so that to remove a supermajority for the legislature, which gives it an equal power with the president under the Constitution that Chavez wrote. All right. So these four people have been sitting there for 2 years, but not able to vote because the Supreme Court won't let them vote because then they get the supermajority. The legislature finally said, look, we'll wait no more than 2 years for this court to be resolved. The 2 years went by, the four-year people were seated, and the Supreme Court came down the next day, getting rid of the legislature. They got such bad feedback internationally and domestically that they said, oh, they were going to amend it and so on, but they didn't amend it. They're going to leave it just the way it is.
Michael Rowan, even the Organization of American States seem to have recognized that this is a problem. In a special session last week, as I recall, they were very critical of what's been happening and insisted on direct elections right away. Is there any prospect of that as you see it at the moment?
No, there's no way to do what they want. They'll throw them out of the OAS, probably, because of the Democratic Charter. It's been in violation for years. You know, finally, the OAS is moving a little bit on this, and you know, the U.S. is really not that. It's just one of the 14 countries that are voting with the Luis Almagro. You know, the
right.
The
but it's not. This brings us to the point that I really wanted to hone in on with you. It's not doing all that it could. That is to say, Washington, the Trump administration now, to try to unseat this Maduro regime or otherwise bring it to heel as it abuses its people, impoverishes them, sends many of them abroad now in search of livelihood and God knows what all else. So as you look at this, Michael Rowan, as a seasoned expert in the region and particularly as someone who has tried to help free the people of Venezuela for a long time, what could the United States be doing now as a practical matter? What steps could the Trump administration be taking?
Well, you and I at Florida International University 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, 2014, was it 2014 or 2015? We laid out exactly how this could happen. Our case there was that the U.S. should not be subsidizing this kind of a country, all right? It doesn't have to, like, do anything but stop doing business with these people. Now, look, we have already sanctioned, you know, over 100 individuals for terrorism, for narco-terrorism, for money laundering, for theft, and so on. All the way up, there are people in Maduro's family in prison now, right here in New York, because of, taking 60 kilos of cocaine on a plane into LaGuardia Airport. So this is not unusual. All right? My question is, why are we doing this? Why simply the president with a tweet could do this with, you know, a very simple executive decision? Obama made a lot of these. Clinton did. Bush did as well. I think Trump is inclined to do this because he met with Leopoldo Lopez's wife and so on.
Yes, leader of the opposition, now in prison. Yeah,
it's a very simple thing. If you had an executive order that simply said that the United States will not buy or sell oil, we're selling oil to the Venezuelan military, by the way, which they're using to suppress the, you know, with the tanks and so on. So we're part of this problem down in Venezuela.
Now, is the argument against doing that we've got oil that has to be processed through refineries that are only suited to process the heavy crude from Venezuela? And introduce, if you would, quickly this question of who is going to own those refineries here in the very near future?
Those refineries can and are producing shale, which is also a different version of heavy oil. That Keystone Pipeline is the solution to those refineries.
Yeah, but it's not in place at the moment, Michael. Is Donald Trump hearing from those in the oil sector that you can't interfere with what's happening in terms of trade with Venezuela without doing us considerable harm economically at home?
He's got one guy sitting right on his, next to him in Rex Tillerson, who had, $3-4 billion of confiscated ExxonMobil.
A lot of hard experience with Venezuela.
He knows all about it. He knows all about the theft. So, and, you know, he's sitting with a judgment against the against Venezuela for that taking. And if ExxonMobil wanted to do, they could do the same thing Conoco and now Crystalex, you know, the gold company is doing. Those people who are getting a U.S. court judgment, they can go in and take Citgo right now.
Mm. And they would wind up taking it from Rosneft, the Russians, which would be actually, I think, probably a good thing. We don't want Russians owning parts of our energy infrastructure. Michael Rowan, there's so much more to talk about here. I know we will be doing so in the days ahead as this drama is far from played out. But I think your clarion call for the U.S. government to stop propping up the horrible, despotic and dangerous regime of Nicolas Maduro is the kind of thing we need to hear a lot more of. So we'll look forward to talking with you again soon. We'll look forward to talking to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.